Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Tonight's study is the Seven Seals of Revelation, Part 3 of 3. If you are listening on YouTube or Rumble and you would like to join us live or listen to our past studies, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/topical-bible-studies. Let's begin with a prayer. Holy Father, who art in heaven, we come to thee again with all humility, acknowledging that we are not worthy of so great a salvation, and but by thy grace none would be saved. We come together again looking into thy word, asking that you give us the ears to hear and the eyes that we might see, to keep us from the hour of great deception that has come upon the whole world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as in all of our studies, this is a line-upon-line, precept-upon-precept study, whereas all scripture interpretation is by the doctrine of Christ and not the doctrines of men, whereas the Bible is its own dictionary and interpreter. As we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall also be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The seventh seal, silence in heaven, and silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Remember, this is dimensional. This is all part of the Great Tribulation and the coming out of the Great Tribulation. Revelation 8, 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, and this is the understanding of this situation. Remember, these seals is giving us more and more understanding. It's very dimensional bringing this all together. And that's why God says these things are hard to be understood. Some of these things are hard to be understood. The salvation of Christ is very easy to understand. Okay, God tells us to make sure we maintain the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of the gospel. Okay, you know, we bring the milk of the word. We bring God's salvation plan. You know, just recently I've done a study on God's magnificent salvation plan. You know, that's where we need to be, bringing that salvation plan to the people. We have to recognize that that some of these people that are responding to the Word of God are nursing off the milk of the Word. You know, the body of Christ is the mother of us all. The body of Christ, the body of believers, nurses those who are coming in with the milk of the Word. Bringing them into morality, bringing them to basic understanding, a realization of their situation before God, that they're heading to hell, they need a Savior, and that Christ died for sinners like us. That's the simple message that must be taught to those who are drinking the milk of the Word. And eventually they're able to hear. You know, look at people that are nursing off the milk of the Word, you know, have a hard time with God's salvation plan from the standpoint that we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It's not us that had done anything good. It has not us that has taken and eaten off the tree of life. It is God that is, we're the workmanship. We are his workmanship. He is the one that has made us to will and to do of his good pleasure. By grace are ye saved. And that's a hard message in a sense. And there's quite a few hard messages. You know, again, those who are nursing off the milk, they'll hopefully come to an understanding at some point in time. But again, this is the meat of the word that we're looking at, and this is the meat of this season. These subjects that we're bringing up here, and talking about and teaching. Okay, let's go back here. Let's see where we're at. We'll pick right back on 8, verse 1. I don't think we really went too far on that. When he opened seven seals, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Now, that silence in heaven in space of a half an hour is the time period when the body of Christ was silenced. We were killed in the church. And not one stone left upon another. Satan took a seat in the temple. He took over the pulpit and preaching of another gospel. And we were in that church for a period of time. And therefore, there was a silence in heaven, meaning what the message of the body of Christ had to bring. And there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Now, again, not a literal half hour. It turns out to be a seven-year period. Okay? And I saw the seventh messenger or angel, which stood before God and to them which were given the seven trumpets. And another angel came down, came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there were given unto him much incense, that they should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altars, which was before the throne. Now the prayers, the incense represents the prayers. Okay, and the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands, and the hand, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And so the prayers brought in judgment, cast it onto the earth, into the corporate church, and there was voices and thunders and lightning and an earthquake, all judgment. Revelation 18:9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication, you know, again, going after another god, spiritual fornication, and lived deliciously with her. They had all of the word of God. They had the precious pearls, the stones, living deliciously, and yet they were committing spiritual fornication, shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, the judgment coming upon her, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, which is woe, woe, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. You know, how has the faithful city become the harlot? That great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, see, there's the other half hour now, and the other half hour brings us through the double portion. For in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, and no man buyeth her merchandise any more. Okay, no true gospel available in the churches. The merchandise is of gold and of silver, precious stones, pearls and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and of marble, and of cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And again, you know, all of this is identifying ultimately with the gospel, okay? The precious stones, the pearls, okay? The oil, the Holy Spirit, the fine flour and the wheat, the word of God, the beasts and the sheep, you know, the corporate church where and the horses and the chariots and slaves, the souls of men. You know, those are the slaves in the corporate church that we're bringing the gospel to. They were enslaved. Remember, we become slaves of Christ. We're translated from slaves of Satan into the slaves of Christ in this world. And then we become born again and we become, you know, reigning with Christ, ruling and reigning with Christ, offering to eternity. So, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, departed out of the church. It's now become the habitations of devils and the whole of every foul and ungodly bird. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off with the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city. You know, and again, it brings us back to the, you know, the city of God. This is the corporate church. The Jerusalem below, that's the city. Jerusalem above is the body of Christ. It's also a city. That great city that was clothed, had a covering and fine linen. Remember, they have their own apparel. They don't want their God's bread. They got their own bread. They got their own apparel that was clothed in fine linen. and purple and scarlet, the color of royalty, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Gold and stones identify with the body of Christ, with the believers, and the pearls with the word of God. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the companies in the ships and sailors, and the ships identify with the gospel going out. Remember, God said, I'll make you fishers of men. And so they went out in ships. The ships was the corporate church, out into the sea, out into the world. They threw out the gospel net, and they brought in the fish, the fishes of men. We brought in the fish, and we cast back into the sea the bad fish, and brought the good fish onto the land, the picture bringing them into heaven. And the sailors, and many as the trade by the sea, stood afar off. And remember, a third of the ships were destroyed in Revelation, speaks about that. Anyway, and cried with, stood afar off, and cried with, when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads. I think that's a picture of some of these people responding and coming to the gospel, because to throw dust onto your head identifies becoming humble and turning to God. So they threw dust onto their head and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, woe, woe, that great city. Alas, alas means woe, woe. Woe, woe, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costly. For in 1 hour she's made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Okay, so again, this is a time period, another part of the hour, and remember, God breaks it in 1 hour, and it's broken up into two parts. At first half hour, a seven-year period, and the second half hour begins after that seven-year period, all the way to the ends of the world. Some people are still coming out, and I think that may be kind of giving us a picture of that, because they're casting dust onto their heads. The seven trumpets, okay, and again, there's a double portion, and this is the time period now, I believe, that God, we've come out of the church, come out of for my people, but the judgment continues on the church. We've come out of great tribulation. Now, we're still in tribulation in the sense that in the world you'll have tribulation. You'll be rejected. You'll be denied. You won't be heard. You will be silenced here and there. And so that's the common state of Christian throughout all of the New Testament era. But we've come out of great tribulation, mega tribulation, the one that is placed upon the whole corporate church that we had spent a period of time in. And so we read in Revelation 8:6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Okay, more judgment coming now. Revelation 8, verse 7. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire and mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now this hail and fire mingled with blood, that's coming down from the heavens above the congregation, off the pulpit, the false teachers and preachers, onto the congregation. The water has become hail, cold as ice. The fire mingled with blood, it's judgment. Fire is judgment. Blood is judgment. And they were cast upon the earth, the corporate church, and the third part of the trees. Remember when God cured that one person who was blind, and he spit into this mud and made a salve and put it on his eyes, and he said, go wash in the pool. And when he washed in the pool, he asked, what did you see? I see men as trees. And then, he eventually was able to see clearly. So all men are trees. Trees identify with people. That's the point here. Third part of the trees, that's the third part in the corporate church, was burnt up again, fire. All green grass was burnt up. Remember when God fed the 5,000, and he sat them down in rows, I forget how many rows, but in any event, he sat them down on the green grass, in the middle of a desert. And why was it green? It was green because it had the water coming, the gospel, the water of the gospel coming, the water of life, okay? But now in the churches, in the corporate body, all green grass is burnt up. It's now brown. It's been put into the oven. It's a judgment to come upon it. The second trumpet came, Revelation 8:8, and the second angel sounded, and it, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire and cast into the sea. The great mountain identifies with the church. It's the high place. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of darkness in the high places. And now, and ask the mountain, go up unto the mountain. You know, now we flee to the mountains, which is the Bible, of course, but the church used to be a mountain. It used to be a place to learn and to grow in God's word. But now this great mountain is burning in fire, judgments is upon, and it's been cast into the sea. It identifies with the world. And the third part of the sea became blood, so that's the judgment. And because it's relating, remember, these people, the churches now relate with the world. They become part of the two-thirds. And the third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died. And those creatures that are in the world, in the sea, had life. That when a church had the body of Christ, it had life. And the creatures that were in it, the unsaved in the church, had life. It was, they were sanctified. They were under the hearing of God's word. But now, spiritually speaking, they died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed, you know, bringing out the gospel into the world. Those ships bringing the precious things of God, they're all destroyed, okay? You know, again, men dream up all kinds of things of the meanings of these things. We're using the Bible to interpret the Bible, okay? The third trumpet, Revelation 8:10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of that star is called Wormwood, and that's a poison, and because all the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because they were made bitter. It's a bitter gospel now. It is a poisonous gospel. You know, we look back on the rivers, okay? It fell upon the rivers and the fountains of water, all identifying with the gospel. It's all now polluted. It's all become bitter. You know, remember, I don't know if we covered this in this study, but there was a time when the little book, the messenger gave the little book to John and said to John, eat it up, and it'll make thy belly bitter. But in thy mouth it'll be as sweet as honey. Now remember, John representing, who's receiving this message of Revelation, John is identifying with the body of Christ. And he's eaten up this book, which is the book of life, and to him it's sweet as honey. It's the word of God, and it's going to bless him, and so on. But in his belly, identifying with the church, because the church is identified with the belly. It's identified as the matrix. The matrix is the belly or the birthing place. It is the womb. It's the place where people are born again. You know, they're fed and nourished with the milk of the word and the gospel and become meat eaters and so on. And of course, at that point, they become part of the body of Christ and they become part of Jerusalem above and continue to feed. And that continues the cycle through the past 2,000 years on to the end, okay? But now everything has become bitter. So in the belly, in the corporate church, it's all bitter. It's a bitter gospel now. And that was what was the picture was being, you know, the prophecy which was being told John concerning the little book. The word of God will, for the believers, be sweet as honey. But for those who are rejecting it, those who are not born again, it'll make their belly bitter. It'll become a problem for them. And remember, we go back to the seven women who took hold of one man, and they want their own bread. They got their own apparel. They just want the name Christian, so that it takes away their reproach. They look better. Everything fine as far as the world is concerned. Okay, so this is the wormwood, of course. This identifies this great star from heaven as it were a lamp. It's a lamp, but it has no light on it. It has no oil on it. It's got a false light, a false gospel, if anything. It identifies with Satan being cast out into the waters. Okay, the fourth trumpet, Revelation 8:12, and the fourth messenger or angel sounded, and the third part of the sun, the light of the gospel, was smitten. and the third part of the moon, the Old Testament, the law, and also part of the gospel, and the third part of the stars, the believers, as the third part of them was darkened, okay, as far as they were no longer in the churches. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, that's the Holy Spirit moving through the body of Christ, flying, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Okay, God's going to give us another three pictures. And again, this is not, chronological. It has to be put together, and it's difficult to do. It really is. I've been thinking for a long time how to deliver this message in some way that could be easily stood, understood in some kind of a chronological order, but it's difficult. So we're going to get another pictures, a couple more pictures coming, three more woes, okay? The fifth trumpet sounded. Satan loosed. First woe. Great tribulation. First portion of the double portion. Again, another picture concerning what we've already looked at. It's dimensional. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now we know that Satan is being loosed out of this pit. The air identifies with the conversations. It's become a dark conversation. The light of the gospel, the sun, has been no more. It's been darkened. And there's the smoke of the pit. It's fire. It is judgment. But who has the key to the bottomless pit? Only Christ has the key to the bottomless pit. But it says, I saw a star fall from heaven. Well, if we go into the Gospels and we read where Jesus speaks about if you fall upon this rock, you'll be broken. But if this rock, meaning himself, meaning Christ, if this rock falls upon you, you will be crushed to powder. Okay, that's judgment. So this star is Christ falling onto the earth from the heaven in judgment, okay? Not that he tripped and fell or something like that, or he just fell out, no, or he was cast out, no. He purposely fell from the heavens onto the earth and crushed them to powder. The rock will crush them to powder. So unto him, Christ, was given that key to the bottomless pit. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. What do locusts do? They eat up all the green things. They destroy everything in its path. The trees, the grass, any flowers, everything gone. And locusts upon the earth. So this famines. And unto them were given power of the scorpions of the earth. Scorpions of the earth have power. No, let's see. Power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green tree, neither a green thing or any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now again, I mentioned this before, this is dimensional. So God is now stepping us back and giving us more pictures. And this is a picture of a time when the body of Christ is still somewhat, well, it could be that they're still in the church, but the thing is, outside the church, we're still being fed. But it also could be that we're already outside or inside. I'm not sure on that. But nevertheless, this picture of the scorpions, which let's read this and we'll talk about the tormenting of the scorpion. Okay, let's see. Let's go back to 3, okay? And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green tree, neither any other tree, but only those men, see, God is referring to trees as men, that have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, to be silenced or not to have the gospel, but that they should be tormented. Okay, I'm sorry, let me reverse that. That was an error. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was the torment of the scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death, and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now let's step back and take a look at this. That they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Okay. Now, months is a period of time. Five identifies with either grace or judgment, and the torment identifies with the torment of not having the knowledge of their salvation. So they're tormented, I might say. They can't find salvation. They're having a problem with it. They're in a church that they're not being fed, so they really can't have it. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And that idea of the scorpion striking the man is in the striking is from the tail, okay? And remember, the Bible teaches us the tail is the false prophet, all right? So it's the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. They're getting the false gospel, but they're not having rest. They're not having peace. They're not becoming born again. They're not having a relationship with God. And in those days men will seek death and shall not find it. You know, we put off the old man. The old man is dead, and we're buried with Christ, so we die, and risen with him in his baptism, okay? That's the picture of salvation there. And so we see this spiritual picture. It's a spiritual death they're looking for. They're looking to put off the old man. They don't understand this, of course, but they're looking for salvation, to put off the old man, for the old man to die. That death will flee from them. And so that they can be buried with Christ in his baptism and risen with him in his soul existence and become born again. So death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle. Horses identify with the corporate churches, you know, beast of burden, particularly camels, okay, horses, asses, you know, these are and chariots. Horses pulling chariots, all this identifies with corporate churches. So the horses, or these corporate bodies, prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. It's not golden crowns, they just appear to be crowns like gold. It's false gold. But the people, you know, seeing, they don't see that it's a false gold. They think it's real gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. They're men. And they had hair as the hair of woman. Identifies with the bride of Christ. In this case, it is the harlot. And their teeth was the teeth of a lion, that which goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, not of righteousness, not of Christ. And the sounds of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. So they're moving through the heavens, the kingdom of heaven, spiritually speaking, bringing, again, the heavens above the earth, preaching off of the pulpit. And, of course, there's darkness coming down and not light. So running into battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and with their stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. Again, five identifies with judgment in this case, because it's either grace or judgment. Clearly, language tells us judgment. Months is a period of time, okay? God's not revealing that to us here. But the stings are in the tails. It's a poisonous gospel. Remember, the Bible says the tail is the false prophet. So that the stings are in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. He's been loosed, and whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter. The sixth trumpet. Second woe, second portion of the double portion. Again, this is in the church that's being, judged. This may still, well, again, it gets a little confusing sometimes. This could still be the first portion, but there are two portions. Again, one when the body of Christ is still in the church and Satan taking a seat, Great Tribulation, and then when they come out, the second portion. So we read in Revelations 9:13, and the sixth messenger or angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. Four is universality, horns is power, golden altar identifying with the altar of God, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, the four messengers, which are bound in the river Euphrates. Keyword, bound in the river Euphrates. River Euphrates must be dried up in order for them to be loosed. It's the river of life. It must be removed from the earth. The earth must dry up on the earth. Okay, so loose the four universal messengers of death, ultimately, which are bound in the great river Euphrates, bound by the gospel. Satan is loosed. Again, another picture of Satan being loosed out of the bottomless pit. He's under the river Euphrates. He's restrained by God. And the four angels who are loose, which were paired for an hour and a day and a month and a year, very specific time, for to slay the third part of men. Again, the third part identifying with those in the corporate church, which had life but now is dead. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200,000,000. Two identifying with the church, the corporate church in this case. Okay. Completeness, 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of Janus, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. Okay, fire, smoke, and brimstone, that's all judgment. The heads like on lions, lions roar as Satan, roar as going about roaring, seeking whom he may devour. Horses identifying with the corporate churches. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the false prophets, by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone. That's coming out of their mouth, false gospels, judgment. Issued out of their mouths, for the power is in their mouth and in their tails, for the tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. You know, people are looking for salvation, and they're not finding it. They're not finding rest. They're not finding peace. They're not finding salvation. You know, they may look like they found it, but deep inside they know there's a problem. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In the days of the voice of the seventh messenger or angel, the mystery of God should be finished. And I saw another mighty angel or messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Okay, now here it is, this mighty angel. This word angel should be messenger, a mighty messenger. This is the chief messenger. This is Christ. It is Christ who is clothed with a cloud, with the cloud of witnesses. God always hides himself in a cloud. Remember when a couple of disciples went up with Jesus for the transfiguration, and God came in a cloud. Same thing with Moses, went up onto the mountain, God came in a cloud, okay? And spiritually speaking, it's a picture of a cloud of witness. God is in the cloud. He's in us. We are the cloud of witnesses. But I saw another mighty messenger, Christ, come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow, and upon his head and his face, as it were, the sun, the light of the gospel. His feet is the pillars of fire. He came and was tried in a furnace, in a fire, by becoming judgment, being judged for us. And he had in his hand a little book, that's the Bible. And he set his right foot upon the sea, the world, and his left foot upon the earth, the corporate body, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. This is the Lion of Judah. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered. Write them not. So God's not giving us this information. Whatever's going to happen during these days, when the Lord comes, we don't know what that is. We don't understand what that is. And God gives us no information. He's saying, seal it up, write it not. Okay? And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And again, this is Christ. And he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, the Father, who created the heavens and the things therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. Judgment day has arrived. Okay? But coming up to judgment day, there's a period of time that God doesn't tell us what's going on. He leaves us without knowledge. And again, you know, he does give us some clues, and we don't really understand it. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing from fear of that which is coming upon the earth. Okay? And again, I see that as a double picture. I see that as a spiritual picture, and I also see that as literally a physical picture. That's my opinion, of course. And so whatever's going on, he's not telling us. So there's going to be a few days, and men's hearts are going to fail from fear. Okay, Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, or messenger, now God is stepping back to give us some more information prior to this. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And that message, that time period is beginning to sound. We're getting the message. The Bible, the book of Revelation has been opened. All seals have been broken. Understanding has come. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not. To shut heaven is not to bring, and rain not is not to bring the gospel. You know, remember God tells us we enter into a house, and that could be a church, because that's one picture, but it also can be just someone else's house, sharing the gospel with somebody, and they reject it. God says, depart and shake the dust off your feet. You know, the dust identifies with snake food, so we had been in a house of Satan. There's a serpent. So these have the power to shut heaven that it rain not. So when we bring the gospel and it's being rejected, heaven is shut, there's no rain given to them in the days of their prophecy. And have the power over waters to turn them to blood, to bring judgment by preaching and teaching these things as judgment upon them. So waters, the gospel, which is all the gospel, turns to judgment, to blood, and to smite the earth, the church, with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, silence them. This is when the body of Christ is still in the church and they've been silenced. And their dead bodies, that's a corporate church, when the body of Christ is no longer preaching the gospel in a church and it's been taken over by Satan, then that corporate church has become a carcass, a dead body. And their dead bodies, their churches that they were bringing word into, life, that had life, they died now. Their dead bodies that lie in the street of this great city, which spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, even also where our Lord was crucified. You know, they killed him and now they killed us. But this is spiritual, it's silencing from bringing the gospel. They have become a dead church, a dead body, a carcass, a place where the fowls come to feast upon the flesh of kings and so on. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. Now that's a half a week. It's identifying with a half an hour. Again, we're not going to get into those numbers right now. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. In other words, the dead bodies, the dead corporate churches don't have salvation because they cannot be buried with Christ in his baptism. The fowls are coming and picking on their bones, eating off their flesh. We read about that already. Again, this is all third dimensional. It's got to pull pieces and, to bring it together in its proper place. Revelation is not chronological. And they that dwell upon the earth in the churches shall rejoice over them. Oh, goodness gracious, they're not bringing this hell fire to us no more. We don't have to have the salt, and we can have our own gospel now. They distort everything. So they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. They'll claim giving each other salvation. Because these two prophets, the two witnesses, identify with the body of Christ, tormented them. They didn't like this gospel that dwelt on the earth or in the churches. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. Okay? And what entered, what's this, again, this 3 days and a half now, it's a period of time, it's the first part of the Great Tribulation. It's the first half hour. Okay? And there's 2 half hours, just like there's 7 days to a week, there's 2 3-and-a-half days. And the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. Okay? Now, that means that now they're able to stand on their feet is to declare the gospel. They're in the corporate church. They're about to come out. They now stand upon their feet. They declare the judgment upon the church and depart out. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Some realized what was going on. They saw them. They heard the word. They heard the message, come out of my people, that you be not partners. And fear, great fear fell upon them that saw them. They responded to the gospel. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. Again, come on to the mountains. Remember, the Lord tells us in Matthew 24 that you flee to the mountains when this happens. Come up hither. Come up onto the mountains. And they ascended up to heaven, onto the mountains where heaven is, because the Bible is open and preaching the gospel is going out, spiritually speaking. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud of witnesses, the body of Christ. And their enemies beheld them. They saw them leave. Okay? And the same hour was there a great earthquake. And a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened. Okay, in other words, they responded and gave glory to the God of heaven. So they responded to the gospel as the body of Christ was departing out, and they left too. And there's still people leaving. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Seventh trumpet, third woe, judgment day. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh main angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven. Now remember, the seventh angel here, these angels sounding, is the Holy Spirit. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seat fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testimony. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunders, and the earthquakes, and great hail. And the beasts was taken, and them that which were with them, let me reread that. This is Revelation 19:20, okay? And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, these were both were cast live into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So that's a picture of being poured into hell. You know, the bottomless pit, that's kind of a scary thing, a pit that has no bottom. It's like being cast, like being thought to be cast out into space, and it's just forever, you know. But in any event, this is the lake of fire. It's identifying with judgment. Okay, these both were cast alive in lake in fire burning with brimstone, in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So so that's a picture of the beast and the false prophet. Now, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And verse 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now the first death is the death of the old man, putting off the old man, being buried with Christ in his baptism and risen with him. This second death has no power over us. Okay, but this is the God speaking of the death of the body, of the fleshly body. So clearly, these three groups of verses here speak about hell, and God speaks of this hell as a lake of fire burning with brimstone. That means judgment. It doesn't mean it's literally thrown into a fire, but again, fire is judgment. We don't know what hell is, just like we don't really know what heaven is either. Another picture, it shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The torment is day and night forever and ever. There is no hope. You're lost forever. And death, and the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the point here is hell is real. The end day is judgment day. We need to be ready for this. We need to make sure we are saved. We need to work that out with fear and trembling if you're unsure. We need to search out our hearts to see where we're standing in this world. Are we standing with God, or are we standing with the world? So the question becomes, will you be found standing, and will you be able to look up? This brings us to the end of our study at the seven seals of Revelation. Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday for our next Bible study. Good night.
Good night. Good night.